You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show, and we're delighted to be kicking off another great week here. I'll tell you, we've just got some amazing shows coming your way this week. Those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. And you need to know that if you go over to kevinsmithshow.com, that's my website, kevinsmithshow.com, go over there and subscribe to our free weekly newsletter. Now, let me tell you what happens sometimes. People subscribe, then they start sending me emails saying, why am I not getting my K-Files e-zine? And many, many times when I check the database, it's all automated, but when I check the database, I find out that they have not clicked the confirmation link. It's a two-step process because we do not spam anybody, all right? So if, for instance, if your friend just thinks it's going to be a funny joke, and so your friend goes over and subscribes you to the K-Files e-zine without your knowledge, you're still not going to get the K-Files e-zine because you're going to get automatically one email from us, and that email has a confirmation link in it. You have to click that confirmation link saying, yes, it was me, and yes, I intended to subscribe. That's what it says to us. You just click the link, and then automatically, you're in. Okay, but if you don't click that link in the one email that we're going to send you, then you don't get the K-Files e-zine. Also, sometimes people have these things set up where it says, you know, we send them the K-Files e-zine. We get an email back that says, well, to protect myself from spam, you have to click this link and get approved and so forth. Well, it's not going to happen. And it's not going to happen because our system is automated. It's emailing to thousands of people. All right? And so there's not someone sitting around 8 hours a day clicking those links. So you need to use a real, genuine, unadulterated email address to get your K-Files e-zine, all right? But it is free, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Now, we're going to be talking with Dick Criswell tonight. Man, this guy knocks the ball right out of the park every time he's with us. Dick Criswell has been in the field of UFO investigation for over 30 years. And he's got above top secret clearance and has been a member of the AlphaCom team. Dick Criswell also is the founder and director of IPUS, which is the International Paranormal UFO Society. They have been, as have many journalists and UFO investigators and UFO investigation groups, investigating this Stephenville, Texas UFO sighting. And he's going to join us tonight to give us some updates on that. And we'll dive off into some other stuff he has discovered about Stephenville. We'll be back right after this. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to alienseekernews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today. Okay, folks, this is what you've been waiting for, your vacation of a lifetime. It awaits your arrival down under in beautiful and historic Hobart, Tasmania. And to make sure your holiday really is a dream come true, you'll be staying at the Bath Street Apartments. Here are just a few of the things that you'll enjoy in your home for the holidays. Stunning water and mountain views from all windows and from your own private balcony or veranda. Modern furnishings, a full modern kitchen with all new appliances, oven and hot plates, fat-free grill, full-size refrigerator, large-capacity microwave oven, cappuccino machine, dishwasher, and enough crockery, cutlery, and utensils to satisfy anyone's culinary desires. The lounge room has an extensive range of electronic home entertainment equipment, including, now get this, a big-screen TV, free digital satellite, pay TV on Foxtel OnStar with over 60 channels, DVD, video, wireless broadband connection, free local telephone calls from the in-room telephone with your own private telephone number so loved ones and friends can call you directly. The bathroom? Wow, the bathroom has a large spa bath, separate shower cubicle, ceiling-mounted heat lamp and fan and hair dryer, and it just gets better and better. Folks, you've got to see Bath Street Apartments. So click the banner over on the Kevin Smith Show website or just go to bathstreetapartments.com.au. Your dreams are awaiting your arrival. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. I'll be there in the morning light. My guest is Dick Criswell. I've already introduced him, so let me just welcome you, Dick, back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Great to be with you, Kevin.
Dick, since we talked last on the show, you have been involved in further investigations of the rather mysterious Stephenville UFO sightings. And I believe you have some update information that you might could share with us, so let me just back out of this and let you do that.
Okay. We have some people telling us that down in Stephenville, they're still seeing the snake-looking things in the sky, kind of like they see a snake, and they see this light pattern. They see fish-looking things. There's a ton of ton of people that have told us that they're still seeing things in the sky, but nothing like the original UFO report that took place down there. Then we're hearing from some people that there are basically people sitting on some video and still pictures and so forth, and I say, bring this stuff out. You know, we want to see this stuff, mm-hmm. because there comes a point in time, you know, when it's not not conducive to bring this stuff out, you know. I mean, after the fact.
So, well, you know what happens is that the longer you wait, the more suspect the video becomes, because you've even if you haven't touched it up, if you haven't done anything to it, you had time to, and so now it has to be vetted even harder than if it was immediate.
That's correct. That's correct. And you know, the longer that they wait, and if this thing dies down, they won't be any good to anybody. You know, I say bring it forward now, you know, and we're always looking for people to come to our website and make reports out about sightings, and especially with the Stevensville thing. My God, we had, since I'd been on your show, you know, there was a lot of people that tried to give us information. Some we knew about, some we didn't know about, and some were still checking out.
You know, we've talked about this before, Dick, but I really think it needs to be said again. I don't know if you agree with what I'm going to say. It doesn't matter. It's my opinion. And if you agree, that's fine. If you don't, that's okay, too. But, folks, listen, if you've got these videos, if you've got these photographs, what's the reason, really? Analyze the reason that you don't want to release them. Now, what I hear from people, and Dick, you probably hear this too, is, you know, they're afraid that of what somebody might say about them. Well, look, are you a free American or what? I mean, are you free or are you in the prison of peer pressure? Now, see, all those people that you're afraid of, that's not your friends. You know, if they would ridicule you for saying, I saw this, here's the proof, here's the video. If they would ridicule you for that, that's not your friend, and they don't pay your bills either. So they don't matter. People who think you don't matter, don't matter.
I agree with you, Kevin. That's the way we think here. And, you know, I might say this. To those that hold those videos back and do not want to be identified, you know, my God, come to the website, please. They can do a 911.ufo.com at the at our website, and you know, they don't even have to have their name. It just comes directly to us, and if they want to send us a video clip or stills or whatever, and they don't want us to use their name, that's totally fine.
Okay. Now, in your research, you found out that this is, first of all, not the first time that Stephenville has been a UFO hotspot.
That is correct. Back in 1897, there was a report of an airship just outside of Stephenville, and people had reported this. Now, you got to realize this was 6 years before the Wright brothers had ever flown, and there was people that confirmed this. I mean, all over the United States, reports that came in, but especially what I found really interesting was the Stephenville sighting. And there were actually people that said that this airship was down on the ground, and they had actually seen two occupants that came out of this airship. Evidently, there was a problem with some kind of propulsion there. I don't know what the propulsion was. I assume it was with something different than they have today. But you got to realize if the news picked this up, and there was a newspaper that's actually still in business today, which is hard to find with some of them. And this newspaper, if you want to check the articles, you can go back and it is. I'm trying to look here. I noted this when I was doing some research today about the Stevensville thing. And this was the Dallas Morning News, and the date was April 19th, 1897. And this was actually even before a lot of people said, well, you know, there was airships. No, there wasn't any airships until after the Wright brothers flew their craft at Kitty Hawk. And now they did have balloons. Let me state this: they did have balloons during the Civil War, but they were fixed balloons, okay, to where they could actually put themselves up in the air like, you know, a regular hot air balloon and tether it, so to speak. That was definitely there. So and getting
but
back,
but that's not
to the,
what we're talking about here.
No. No, we're not talking about some of the things that these people are seeing in Stevensville, but I find it really interesting that these airships were in Texas 110 years ago.
In the same area?
In the same area.
Now, did the people at that time report talking to the occupants of this thing?
Absolutely.
What did they say?
According to this news article, they said that these people had told them that they came from the North Pole. Now that really got me thinking that if they told them that they came from the North Pole, maybe some of this Hollow Earth stuff may not be just hokey-pokey stuff.
All right. Now, Stephenville, fast forwarding back up into current time, these people are seeing something that it's kind of interesting to me. They saw the craft, they saw a UFO, but now they're seeing things in the sky that are very, very much like what Jeff Woolline has described right here on this show, and we've shown I've put some of his photographs on my site when he was on the show, and of course we put his link on, and people have been and taken a look at some of the videos that he's got. Weird stuff, and but people in Stephenville are seeing these kind of things in their skies now.
That is correct. Now, let me tell you how Jeff and I go back. Jeff happens to be the director of IPAS now for Arizona. Jeff and I go back about a couple years, and I actually seen some of his video that he took a couple years back. And I told him, I said, I want to see what you're talking about. And I took them in, and I took them to one of our best experts at video and stills. And I said, I want your opinion. What do you think of these things that's in this video? And the guy told me, he said, now, Dick, he said, it's in the pixels, so there is no hokery whatsoever. And I'm telling you what, Kevin, these things are stunning. And to those out there that would downgrade Jeff, I'm going to tell you, he's the real deal.
You know, I want to make it clear, I'm not promoting Jeff, I'm reporting, okay, because I don't promote any guest. I like you, Dick, but I don't promote you.
That's good, you shouldn't.
You got to stand on your own two feet, and the same with Jeff and with every guest. I'm just reporting that I discussed Jeff Woolline's videos with Jaime Maussan from Mexico. He was familiar with Jeff's videos, and he said they were excellent videos, and that people in Mexico are seeing and videotaping the same kinds of things. And now here we have it in the Stephenville area, where they're seeing, they describe it as looking like a serpent or a snake in the sky. And sometimes it's illuminated from inside, and sometimes it's not. And, you know, the amazing thing with Jeff's is that, you know, a whole lot of them are daytime video. And, you know, the one of the things he said on this show is, you know, I asked him, are you bogus? Have you hoaxed any of these videos? And he said, look, no, absolutely not. And look, if anybody has any doubts, come go up on the mountain with me and see for yourself.
Well, when I first received them, you know, I'm skeptical by nature. And I, you know, I looked at these things and I was at awe. Because actually, when Jeff gave me these things, I received another video, and I believe it was Jaime Masson's video. And it actually showed some things that Jeff was showing in his video that was excellent, but it wasn't the same thing. I mean, you could see the difference, and I don't want the people to think that Jeff had copied some of Masson's stuff. This was different settings, and you could tell it by the difference in backgrounds and so forth. So I want to make that perfectly clear.
But the objects or entities or whatever they are look the same, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the things that's strange, and some people have a real problem with, is that Jeff's point of view is that these are not vehicles or machines or hard artifacts. These are living entities, he thinks. And they may well be. I mean, in the absence of knowing for sure, it could be.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, Dick, on this show last week, I discussed something that's happening with computers. IBM is developing what you could call a biochip, where they are attempting to mix DNA with computer chip manufacturing. And in doing that, I said, are they creating a living life form? Are they a new life form? Is that what's happening? And I discussed on the show the possibility, very real possibility, that if they're successful with this, that you would have something that meets legal definitions for being a life form. Now, if we can even contemplate doing that, it doesn't seem to me to be a real far stretch to say that it is possible some of these so-called UFOs are life forms.
I believe in that statement. And did you receive an email from me about what I was telling you that Dr. Wolf had told me in 1992? He told me that the next wave of computers would be chemical in nature.
I don't recall getting that.
Okay, and this was in 1992. He told me this, and I was kind of skeptical when he told me that. But chemical in nature, yeah, pretty much what you're talking about with the DNA.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I believe that's the next wave that we've got coming. And, is that a life form? Yes. I mean, there are so many things that we are taking in advance. It kind of boggles the mind to the place that, hey, where do we get that stuff?
Well, yeah, you sort of wonder. And then you think about Philip Corso. You know?
An excellent example.
Philip Corso would say, well, where we got that stuff is off of UFOs, and I took it to various companies and asked them to back engineer stuff and figure out what is this, what does it do, how does it work. There was a statement that was out on the internet for quite some time by the president of the American Computer Company stating that that was true, that what Corso said was true, and that he had brought some of the alien technology to them and that they had worked on it. Did you ever see that?
Yes, I've seen that, but even before that, I think I said this on your show, that Dr. Wolf had told me that there'd be a guy that would come out, and this was early, I'm thinking 91, 92, that this guy would come out, write a book about Roswell and the things that were back engineered there, and most of these people wouldn't take him serious, and he even named his name. And this is way before the book was ever, you know.
And he named Philip Corso?
Yes, he did.
Uh-huh.
Yes, he did. And I wrote the name down. I'm trying to see if I can find that in my files, because I thought at the time when that book came out, I said, I've heard that name before.
Uh-huh.
and it was what Dr. Wolf had told me about this guy. And he said most people would just not take this, you know, as the truth. And there are still some that find it pretty, you know, pretty hard to swallow. But I never did it. I bought the book and found it very enjoyable. And the facts that he was talking about were, to me, the documents that I've seen are true.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, while you were speaking about that, it reminded me of some criticism that I read about Jesse Marcel Sr., in that he said that he was familiar with most of the, or with all of the aircraft that America had at the time, and that he had flown most of it. And the criticism, I think it was by Cal Korf, but I'm not sure, said that that was just bragging, that Marcel didn't fly airplanes and blah, blah, blah. The same sorts of criticism, the same kind of criticism, category of criticism, was leveled against Corso.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he overstated his importance and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, you know, what I was thinking is, you know, I can tell you that I have flown Russian Mil, I think they're called Mil 8 and Mil 26 helicopters. That doesn't mean I piloted them. It means I flew on them.
Right.
I have flown those aircraft. I have flown Aeroflot. I have flown Southwest Airlines. You know, that's the way
mm-hmm.
we say those things.
That doesn't mean that you're the pilot.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that I'm overstating anything. I have spent a lot of time in the air on those aircraft that I've mentioned, and some others. You know, it's just a fact. Now, the same thing when you talk Jesse Marcel, or when you talk about Corso. You know, they said some things that critics want to carry to the extreme in order to criticize. And yet, the evidence seems to be there that Corso did exactly what Corso said he did.
Absolutely. And you know, going back to what you're talking about, Jesse Marcel Sr., Jesse knew the difference between a weather balloon and a downed craft. I can tell you that. You know, I mean, come on. A weather balloon. And to look at his face in that picture, I mean, you know what they say, a picture's worth a thousand words?
Oh, yeah.
Look at that picture.
But, you know, well, I started to say something, but I'm going to have to back out of that because the break is taking over. We will continue, folks, when we come back on the other side of this break. Don't go away. It's going to get a lot hotter.
They can never change your everybody's hope tonight. Save us from ourselves. Oh. You're the one when everybody feels torn. You have fun when everybody leaves bored. While we look for a solution that is hanging round your neck, you stay a mystery. Please believe in me, you're everybody's hope tonight. You're everybody's hope tonight. 'Cause everybody tries someone, they can never change your everybody's hope tonight. There is silence where there should be words. There is wisdom in the one that can't be hurt. Your everybody's hope tonight. You're everybody's hope tonight. You're everybody's hope.
We are back. We are talking with Dick Criswell tonight. Before we return to our conversation with him, let me point out something I failed to point out and need to point out before we go any further. If you're on our website, if you're not, go over there and take a look, KevinSmithShow.com, and just scroll down. We got a new sponsor. You'll find the ad. Just scroll all the way down. You'll see where it says information base. Keep going. Last ad on the right. Pretty cool. I'm going to check this out. Sell your old cell phones, but they also buy all kinds of electronic gadgets. So if you've got some of the old stuff laying around, these people will buy it. I'm going to convert some of mine to cash. All right, Dick.
When we went away, I was talking about, and you were talking about, Corso. You know, his basic story was that recovered alien technology was given to him by General Trudeau, and he was given the task then of taking it around to various companies in industry, private industry, and asking them to look at this, find out what is it, what does it do, how does it do it, back engineer it. And he names in his book several pieces of things, several pieces of technology that he took out and had people take a look at. He has come under criticism. I've seen a documentary where he comes under criticism, and debunkers say, well, this was already being worked on by this person and that person, and here's who invented it, and so forth. What do you think about that?
I do believe that he had that stuff back engineered, but let me lay a bombshell on you. The guy that wrote, co-authored the book with him, Bill Burns, did not release all the information so he can have a backup book to this, and it may possibly be in the works. There were some confusing things that was in there about when he had told about different places that he took it to, and I think Bill held some stuff back there that was pertinent to that whole thing, and it will probably be out in the next book. But the one thing that I really and truthfully think that happened, you remember these transistor radios that we had when we were kids? My father is a mechanical and an electrical engineer. And when these first come out, I can remember him saying to me, he said, "Dick," he said, "you know what?" He said, "something is not right here." And I said, "well, what's wrong, Dad?" And he said, "here we went from tube-type radios to this, what they call transistor." And he said, "it was kind of like it was overnight." And he said, "technology does not evolve like that."
Mm-hmm. And I remember that being the case. I remember that it was like all of a sudden there it was. I mean, there was nothing in between.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We went straight from tube radios to transistors. Now, for those younger people in our audience, they don't know perhaps what a tube type radio is. It means that the electronics inside, instead of having capacitors and resistors and such as that, solid state things, they had glass vacuum tubes. And those vacuum tubes operated at various different frequencies and together produced a radio. And then we went from that to transistors, which are solid state.
That is correct.
And nothing in between. And it was just overnight. I remember my very first transistor radio. It was blue in color.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that we thought it was so cool because you could put it in your shirt pocket. You know,
yeah.
That was cool. However, it was like a brick in your shirt pocket.
It was heavy. That's right.
They were big, but they seemed small to us then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd never seen radios that small before. And it was just the coolest little gadget, you know, and we were all... I remember taking mine into school, trying to sneak it in there with one of those little earplugs, you know, and listen to the World Series during class.
Right. Yeah, I did the same thing.
I got caught, did you?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and the teacher said you can come get it after class.
Yeah.
Those were the days, though.
Mine said after school.
Oh.
So I had
after the class.
Yeah, well, after school I got to go get mine. All right, now, these additional sightings down in Stephenville, they're continuing to happen. It's beginning to fade from the news, as we predicted it would. And that's unfortunate, because now we're having reports of something different from the giant craft that people saw and videotaped. And it is something entirely different from that, and it should be reported on. But it's beginning to fade from view. And yet UFO sightings are not fading from view. UFOs and UFO sightings are apparently growing in prominence. In Russia, they're building a $6 million UFO center, and it's a museum and visitor center where they're going to put the Russian UFO files on display. Is that correct?
That is correct. And now I gotta tell you something funny about that. For a long time in my life, my father was a non-believer about UFOs and various different things. And he called me, Friday of last week, and he says, "Guess what? You're not going to believe this. They had that, what you just got done talking about, on CNN. And my dad says, my ears perked up, and he said, I wanted to find out more, but it was just like a little blurb. So, you know, I think if my father's waking up, there's a bunch of people out there that's waking up when they're hearing stuff like that. I mean, that's a major move there.
Dick, what's happening I'm watching this happen almost daily. There are people who have, you know, they're friends of mine, but they think, or they used to think, that, you know, doing this show and these topics that we talk about, yeah, it was a little bit silly, you know? And I've had them, I've had close friends tell me things. I would be talking about what I think is going to happen with the UFO phenomena or Mars exploration or moon exploration. And I've had them say, it'll never happen in our lifetime. Never going to happen. And they're all eating copious amounts of crow these days because it is happening. And it's going to happen at an ever-increasing, accelerating pace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe it's going to be accelerated towards the end of this year, into two, and I've said this before on your show. I believe it's really going to be, if they don't land, it's going to be very obvious that there's something there, and it will be 2009 or 10 that some major thing is that they can't wipe away. I mean, I'm sorry, the Air Force is not going to be able to explain anything away. The Army's not going to be able to explain this. Some major event's going to happen, and they got to say, hey, this is real.
You know, for a long time, we have heard both from the Air Force and from the CIA that they have no interest in or investigations ongoing of this phenomena that we call UFOs. This week, someone sent me an email with a link to a website in Canada where through their freedom of information, they have gotten and have now published a memo from the CIA to the Defense Ministry in Canada. And this was, I think, in the 70s, I believe. I could be wrong about the date. Where it talks about, in the memo, downplaying the idea that there is any ongoing investigation or even interest in UFOs. But then it talks about the proper reporting channels for it so that ongoing investigation could happen under the surface. And so it's been a high interest thing for a long time. Our government, apparently the Canadian government, because they're exchanging information about it, I have been very interested in it, and I guess every government on the planet has been very interested and has had their own investigations going. We're finding out now, you know, the French, the British, the Russians, us, the Chinese, heck, I guess everybody, the Indians, everybody seems to have some government secret files about UFOs.
Yes, and some of them are coming forward, and, you know, I can't help but wonder if these countries come forward and release their information, like some of them have, that the United States can't feel like that they've been painted back into a corner and got to do something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we have to do something, too. We have to take a break. Okay. We'll be back, folks, right after this.
that is true, it can be done. You know that it can be done. It can be done. You know that it can be done. In through the night as the stars shine so bright.
Did you know The Kevin Smith Show selects one of its very best shows each week and turns it into a free podcast? Well, it's true. You can download free Kevin Smith Show podcasts right now and get a free fresh podcast each week. Do you want to start building your own library of Kevin Smith Shows? All you have to do is visit our website at kevinsmithshow.com and click the free podcast link. They're yours for the download. We're talking with Dick Criswell, who is the founder and director of the International Paranormal UFO Society, formerly a team member of AlphaCom, and we're talking about UFOs. Dick,
let me ask you about the UFO reports, because you have an organization that people contact and report UFO sightings to. Are the reports up or down?
Oh, they're we just had a couple more before we went on the air tonight, but they're popping up, and the people are giving us a call and taking this thing serious, and we love people to call us, but we also like the hard data, you know, to fill out a report form that we've got up there on our website, and they can go to www.canyoustandthetruth.com, and then they can link up to 911ufo.com and make a report there. But we actually have got several reportings from San Diego, California, about these huge wedge-shaped or triangle-shaped craft. They claim that they got lots of lights underneath the underneath the craft itself. We got a report from White Springs, Florida, just before we went on air tonight, and they're reporting the triangle shape. They're claiming that they're blocking the stars out. So, and some of the estimates are 300 feet.
300 feet. What?
300 feet long from, you know, the tip of it to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that these things are really moving in the sky. I tried to get an estimate to what they thought, and some of these people told me that you know, that they just can't give an estimate, but they were moving faster than they claim, faster than a conventional like a commercial airliner or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And do they make any noise?
They said they're silent. Silent in nature.
How high are they?
Well, we had one that was We had one that was really within about 200 feet of the ground. So, well, that was just an estimate, but they said that it got that low and it blocked out the stars. So, you know, that's pretty low, I think.
200 feet is very low.
Yeah,
and I would think that people, you know, would get a very, very good look at this thing if it's that low.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other thing is, my first question to these people that call in is, did you take any stills? Did you take any, well, you know, we didn't have a camera in the car. So here we are again. You know, I make it a habit. I take my camera everywhere. You know, I'm never lost, you know, without a camera of some sort. But there again, you know, people don't think of those things unless they're on vacation or, you know, whatever. You know, in a busy life, most people don't carry a camera to work or anything, you know.
I'll tell you what, though, there are more people now that have cameras everywhere they go because they have cell phones that have cameras. And then I saw at one of the local pharmacies, I saw a display where it was the smallest digital camera I've ever seen. It was about a half inch to three quarters of an inch tall, and it was about an inch and a half wide, and maybe a quarter of an inch thick, and it was on a keychain.
Yeah, I've got one of those.
Does it take pretty good pictures?
It's like, Kevin, I will tell you this. It's not as good as a 7 or a 12 megapixel, but the one I particularly have, I think it's a 3, and it takes pretty damn good pictures of, you know, now I would say if it was way far up in the air, you know, like several thousand feet or something like that, you wouldn't get anything. But if it was 200 feet, you get a good picture,
yeah.
You know.
And better than the cell phone pictures?
Yes, I think so. I think so. Excellent. And they're not very expensive. I think I probably paid, and I bought mine at Christmas time, and I think it was about $20 or something like that. It wasn't.
Oh, you're going to hate me. They're $9.99 here.
Oh, Christ. How did you get those?
I don't know. They're on display, and it looks like a pretty good deal. But, I mean, you know, if it's on a keychain, so you could actually have a camera with you at all times.
Oh, that was the idea, you know. When I showed my wife, I told her, I said, look at that. She said, what you buying that for? And I said, it's a backup, you know. But
yeah.
they are excellent, you know, for the size they are. Shoot. And, you know, you can download them. The one I got, you can download to the computer and print your pictures off.
Yeah.
So I think that's dynamic.
Dick, let me ask you, because not only are you involved in UFO investigations, you're talking to people all the time who have seen UFOs. Is the mood changing amongst those who are reporting it? Are they less fearful now? Or is it about the same?
No, I think Kevin, the mood has definitely changed, because back when I started this thing, you know, if you'd mention a UFO, those people go, yeah, what has he been drinking or smoking, you know? But as I talk to these people today, you can just see the sincerity in their voice, and they'll say, and the one thing that comes out is, has anybody else reported this? You know, and I can either say yes or no, you know, but it seems like most of these people I talk to are not afraid, but they want to learn more about this stuff.
What do you think's going on out in San Diego? Why is that area now becoming a hot spot?
I have asked the witnesses about that, and none of them seem to know. They just said that these are spotted kind of out in the open. They're not, you know, in a city per se, but, you know, kind of like the ones that I'm getting are like interstate travel, or they're in between, you know, different points of interest, and it just doesn't seem like that there's any kind of correlation why they're there.
What about Florida?
That's the same thing. White Springs, I don't, and I've asked the people the same thing, and they just don't, they don't even come up with any kind of rhyme or reason. They just said, you know, this came up all of a sudden, and we don't know where they came from. They're just there. Then we received another report tonight from Omaha, Nebraska, but these were cylindrical type. Now, we don't get many of those reports like that, but then I got another one tonight also from Norfolk, and it was cylindrical as well, and lots of lights on it. So,
and that would be Virginia?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Now, where is Norfolk in relation to
Washington? There's a naval base. That's pretty close. That's pretty close. There's also a naval base there at Norfolk. So, the people that had called in said it wasn't anywhere close to the naval base. They said it was just outside of the city, and they didn't know what to make of it. So,
And what was it? Was one of the big triangles?
No, this was cylindrical
cylindrical.
Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're getting a couple reports like that, but most of the time now I'm getting those triangles. When I talk to some of these top officials that I talk to, I said, can some of them be ours, or can some of them be from elsewhere? And the answer that I get is sometimes amazing, because they'll say a little of this, a little of that. Yes, they do come from elsewhere, and we do have something similar in nature, but these guys are telling me they're not that big what they're reporting.
So ours are not as big as what the reports are telling us about.
That's what I'm hearing, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that only leaves one other option then, and that is if we don't have them that big, two other options, then someone else on Earth does, or they're from off-planet.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to open the telephone lines. 1-800-289-1092 is the number for you to call.
call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
Welcome back, and for those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour of the Kevin Smith Show, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. My guest is Dick Criswell. Dick, let's go straight to the phone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Kevin in Iroquois Falls, Ontario. Did you get my email earlier?
I don't know. I've read hundreds of emails today. I can't remember specifically. What was it about, Kevin?
Well, we've got a live UFO sighting right here, right now in Iroquois Falls.
It's happening right now?
It's happening right now, and I can still see it.
Tell us about
Wow.
it.
Yes, I can still see it right now. It's hovering right over the local paper mill here. I've been watching it since about quarter after nine. And it's a bit of an orb. There's nothing that should be there astronomically anyway. It's flashing red and white. I called the local air traffic controller earlier. There's supposed to be nothing in the skies right now. And there shouldn't be anything up there. There's no towers or anything. And it's hovering over the mill. And that's the second one in the last 2 weeks that I've seen hovering over the mill. Local paper mill. I'm seeing it right now. I'm looking at it right out of my window.
Are you taking any videos or you got a camera that you can shoot some photographs of this?
I've tried three different cameras. None of them are working.
Oh, my.
Uh-oh.
Okay, what about contacting friends and asking them to get some video or photographs of it?
The thing's moving again. The thing here has been hovering. It would just hover there, then it would move around, and then it would dart to some other place. It's right to the east of me. I'm seeing it right now, and I'm not making this up.
Okay, and it's moving which direction?
Well, I'm looking to the east right now, and it looks to be moving to the right a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And it flickers red and white real fast when it moves over, and when it stops, it sort of just slowly alternates the colors.
What do you think about that, Dick?
Wow. I've heard some reports like that, but not in his area.
This is the fourth UFO sighting I know of in this area in the last 2 months. This is the fourth one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Can you go to our website and fill out our form?
I already did.
Okay, great, great. And there's a number that you can reach me at. I'd like to talk to you further, maybe tomorrow. And
okay.
Do what?
Actually, I'm taking a bit of a chance calling right now because I actually saw the thing coming back from a pizza delivery because I'm actually on call right now. I was coming back from out of town. I was on a delivery on the highway, on Highway 67, and I noticed something flashing in the sky a little bit, and I looked and I said, oh, whoa. I said, you know, an explicit, ooh, but, and I've been keeping an eye on this thing ever since.
How high is it?
It's not. It's low enough that if it were a helicopter, I would have been able to hear it. But it's not. If it was a medical helicopter or a police helicopter, I would have heard it. And it's not. It's low enough, and it's now moving upwards. I'm watching it right now. It's going up. Oh yeah, that thing's moving.
How fast do you think it's moving?
Oh boy. I'd say it's probably at the height that it's at. I'd say maybe at around maybe 50 kilometers an hour.
Okay, so it's not real fast.
No, not real fast anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's moving. The lights are flickering on it. It's moving up to the right. It's just been moving around, hopping around. I don't know why. And I saw the same thing about a week and a half ago.
And there's nothing, the air traffic controller says there's nothing on his screen.
No, I called him about an hour ago, and he said there was nothing. There shouldn't be nothing in the skies right now.
Have you ever heard the tape that I play sometimes of the sheriff's department in Louisiana that was working a UFO incident on a Christmas Eve? Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, I think on one of the replays I heard it.
Uh-huh. There's a point at which the deputy asked headquarters to call the airport.
ask them if they have anything on their screens.
Yeah, that's what I did. I called the Timmins Airport, and they saw nothing.
Well, that's what they told the sheriff's office. They had nothing on their screens, and you hear the deputy say, headquarters, did I understand correctly, they have nothing on their screen? And the headquarters responds, that's correct. The deputy says, well, I'm counting five airplanes flying around this thing right now.
Well, I don't see anything else flying around it. The thing's moved around real quickly. Now it's really, it's moving around. It's sort of like going in circles a little bit. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. This is...
So, what do you think? Do you think there are other people that will report this thing and it'll be big news in town tomorrow?
Well, I know I'm the local UFO guy. I already had a couple of my friends calling me about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
Well, look, ask your friends to get their cameras out try to document this thing.
Okay,
yeah, we'd love to see some video or some stills of this thing.
Yeah, I've got no video recording equipment at all, and my cameras aren't working. So I'll call a couple of my friends and see what's going on.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call.
Good
exciting
no
stuff.
Problem.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Wow, exciting stuff. Huh? It's happening right now as we speak in Iroquois Falls, and that's in Canada. They've been having a lot of sightings in Canada.
Yes, I've been hearing quite a few, and we've got quite a few reports from Canada about UFOs.
Well, you know who I would like to hear from as well? I want to hear from anybody that wants to call in and comment or ask a question. But I would love to hear from someone in the San Diego area that may have seen some of these UFOs. I'd love to hear from some of the folks in Florida that may have seen some of these UFOs. And, if you're nervous about giving your name, well, when I say, tell us your name and where are you calling from, tell me your name is Bob or Susan or whatever. Make something up. But just so we have a name to call you as while we talk with you, something that we can use to refer to you. But I'd like to hear from some of the witnesses in San Diego or other places in California. I'm sure that there are other places where these things were seen. And also in
Nebraska,
Florida.
Nebraska mm-hmm. and Virginia, you know, any of those places, we'd love to hear them.
Yeah, and let me ask you about this cylindrical UFO at Norfolk.
Mm-hmm.
How big was that?
They said it was probably about, from tip to tip, they said it was about 25, 30 feet. That's what they're thinking. Now,
how big around is it?
They didn't give me anything like that. They just said it looked cylindrical, kind of like a cigar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the same in Omaha, Nebraska. They said it was cylindrical and lots of lights on it. And I think they said the one in Omaha was like it was about 90 feet is what they're telling me, 90 or 100 feet. So, see, these are different sizes.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe, you know, the perception is of that person and it may be bigger or smaller, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
All right, let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Michelle from Quebec.
Yes, Michelle.
Yeah, you should tell Kevin, too, to get into touch with Brian Vike, because that's right in Ontario there. And if anybody's going to report that same sighting in the same place, it will be somebody or Brian.
Yeah, you know, I should have thought of that. Brian is a friend of mine, and he's been on the show, and I just didn't think of that. Thanks for reminding us.
Okay, Kevin, and my question is to Dick there. He's getting to be part of our family, ain't he?
Oh, well, it's working out that way, yes.
Anyway, has he said or talked to you anything about this UN secret meeting?
I don't remember.
No, I have not said anything about the UN meeting. I understand that has some legs. Now, these are only people that, and I consider them to be reliable.
that have told me about that, and I went to that one website that reported that, and I wasn't there. I don't know. I'm just trying to take this in and trying to sift through this and see if this is real. But I kind of have a gut feeling that there's something to that. Now, whether it's exactly what was reported or not, you know, I don't know. I think that there's something to it, though.
Well, I mean, last year we had lots of good sightings at the beginning of the year, but this year it's really crazy. I mean, you're talking... if I started naming the countries that had sightings, and I mean good sightings, not sightings that, you know, they pop up and go away. We've had a couple of them, like we had at Kazakhstan. There was supposed to be a crashed UFO, and there was a story that came out at the same time as the Texas story in Mexico of a UFO that came down, and there were three or four witnesses, but that story came on one day, and it was gone the next. I tried to get in touch with Hussein there, Hami there.
Are you talking about the one where it landed on the top of the mountain or top of the hill for a few seconds or a few minutes?
Yeah, or in a field or something. Anyway, I know it was outdoors, you know, out in an open place, and I think there was four or five witnesses that said they saw it, and there was other people that had videos and something, but maybe that story is being one of them that Hami's holding on to you know, get all the information before he lets anything out.
It could be. The one I'm talking about, though, the video of it is already up on YouTube.
No, I've seen a few videos out of Mexico this year, but not that one or that story. Anyway, like I said, I seen it one day. I got one email of it, and that was it.
Yeah.
Same thing as the Kazakhstan one. But that one, I think, is even more interesting because it came on, and I went back to the paper and asked them for confirmation of the story. And they said, what story? We have no UFO story. That's what I got back from them.
Oh, well, then it's real.
Eh?
So that means it's real.
Well, somebody stuck it in, you know, an email. Anyway, I just can't understand what's going on this year. I mean, I've seen stories pop up and go away, and not only in lots around NASA.
Yeah.
We're in a flap year. Last year was kind of a banner year, but I think this one's going to be really exciting this year.
Michelle, I want to thank you for the call, and we're going to have to move on. We have others trying to get in, but thanks very much for the call. Good point you made. Folks, the telephone number toll-free, 1-800-289-1092, is toll-free throughout North America. And if you live outside of North America, if you want to make an international telephone call, you need to dial country code 1-623-581-5148 from anywhere in the world. That will work. It's not toll-free, all right? Or you can send me a flash message, send an email, a flash message, to flash@kevinsmithshow.com. All right? And I'll read it on the air, and we'll get Dick Criswell to respond to it. Dick, I have to say that's the very first time, our first caller this evening, first time that I've ever gotten a live UFO report while on air.
That's great. I used to, when I had my national radio show, I used to get them, you know, not all the time, but I'd get them kind of, maybe once every five shows or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of them might have been turned out to be bogus because, you know, we had no way of checking at that time, but they sounded real, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think there was some sincerity in this guy's voice.
Yeah, and he's a frequent caller. I think that he's not making it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of the things we hear a lot about Dick is that it's a misnomer when we refer to these things as UFOs because they're not unidentified. Now, they are to me, but the people who say this are saying that these are identified by our government. They know what they are, who they are, and where they come from. Do you buy that?
Yes, and I know that to be a fact, because when I was in AlphaCom, I said, you know, all these things, are they just misidentified, or just what is it? They said, well, you know, the true UFOs, the ones that you guys are reporting with the saucer types and stuff like that, they said, we know what they are, but the average guy doesn't. So, you know, I think the question that we need to ask them is, what are these things that are flying? You know, if you've got a name for them, or whatever, you know, and if you're filing a Freedom of Information request or something like that, you need to put specifics. You know, what are these things that are flying around in a specific area? Because I know for a fact that when you file that, they'll either come back, if you're not right to the point, they'll come back and say, we can't find anything in our files, or we don't know what you're talking about.
I've just gotten a message from Kevin in Canada, and it says, Kevin, someone must have heard me reporting this UFO on the air, because I went back to watching the thing, and I saw three aircraft flying towards it, and the UFO just blinked out. I can mm-hmm. still see the aircraft flying around.
Yeah, that is a typical type thing. And if you listen to Jaime Maussan, that goes on all the time in Mexico when they send jets after different things, they'll go right up to it within several hundred yards, and then they're gone, and then they'll appear again somewhere else.
That's boy, this is just bizarre.
I love it.
Oh, I do too. I do too. Well, I mean, folks, you're hearing it as it's happening in Canada right now, and you know, we're hearing from one of our listeners there, and we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-289-1092, or send me a flash message if you're outside of North America. I know that we've got folks listening. Internet listeners, it's loaded up to the gills. It's loaded. And we've got folks listening all over the United States, all over Canada, the UK, Australia, lots of other places. We've got some in Africa listening. We've got some in Southeast Asia listening. So, folks, you know, this is, you're hearing what's happening in Canada right now.
I mean, you can't get any better than that, Kevin.
I'm telling you. But I would love to hear from folks around the United States, Canada, the UK, Australia, and anywhere else in the world, if you have recently seen a UFO. I'd like to hear your account of what you saw. I'd like to hear your description of it. And, you know, it adds to the body of information. Now, Dick, you said the government knows what these things are, and I have no problem buying that. I think they probably do. We're going to take a phone call, but after this phone call, I'd like for us to talk about the different shapes that we see, and what does the government say about those, if you know? But we'll get to that in a moment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
This is Louis from Connecticut, Kevin.
Yes, Louis.
Yes, and a good evening, Dick.
Good evening.
Yeah, hey, Dick, what if all these sightings that we're seeing, okay, everybody knows about, well, not everybody, but a lot of people are hearing about this Planet X. What if wherever these ships coming from, maybe Planet X is affecting their area, and they're getting away from it, and then we're starting to see them now?
You know, that's funny that you say that, because I heard another, I got an email from a guy that almost had the same scenario that you're talking about,
And I had never considered that, but you know what? That's a good scenario.
That's right. Before it gets here, it's going to affect somebody else.
There you go. There you go.
That's all I got to say tonight, gentlemen. Very good show, Kevin.
Hey,
Luke,
thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Dick, I'm going to throw a different question than I had proposed because of this caller.
Mm-hmm.
We've heard on this show, I've had people talk about that there are living intelligent beings on other planets in our solar system. And one of the planets that was mentioned was Venus. Now, we know that the conditions on Venus certainly are not conducive to you and I living there. But that doesn't mean someone else couldn't. After all, we breathe one of the, you and I, and everyone listening to us, breathes one of the most corrosive elements in existence, oxygen. Oxygen will bring down a steel bridge. And, the rust is caused because of oxygen. So, is it possible, or do you have any information about Venus or any other planet in the solar system being inhabited?
Yes, and Venus, interesting about Venus. Remember a guy by the name of Adamski?
Mm-hmm.
Talked about going to Venus,
yeah.
And he said it was very different than people had said it was. So that kind of brings that into, that kind of brings that into play about Adamski. I personally, some of the reports that I read about him, I didn't think he was a flake. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I felt that he was, if nothing else, he believed in what he was saying. Okay, and there's a difference.
But
between
what about what about other reports that you may have read about people?
One report that I did see when I was in AlphaCom was talking about life underground on Mars. That was the only planet that I seen a document on. Okay, and of course we have people living on the moon on the backside right now where we can't see them. I know that to be a fact.
All right. I'll get into that in a moment. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yes, Chris.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Hey, good evening.
I have a quick question, kind of, I guess, for both of you, but for Dick, because of his background, we know that the increase in sightings has taken place and that, disclosure is getting pretty close, whether it be through, our people or through the extraterrestrials themselves. But do you think before that happens that the government will claim that this is our own technology, that we've manufactured it, and that it was our stuff that we were seeing all the time? And do you think that step will take place before attributing it to extraterrestrials?
I don't think that scenario will happen. I think that was in their repertoire some time back because I had seen things that were similar in nature. But there was also a scenario where they would bring forth this UFO threat to bring this New World Government in. And that was kind of in a scenario out of Iron Mountain. So
kind of the Independence Day scenario.
Yes. Here's what I think. I think that there's going to be so much evidence that they will have to come clean, and I'm hoping that I'm a part of that. Under the reinstitution of the AlphaCom team.
Okay. You mentioned there are people, you said we know we have people living on the backside of the moon. Now, I want to ask you to clarify that. We've only got about a minute and a half before break. Whose people are on the backside of the moon?
Our own people. Our own people and aliens.
You know this to be a fact.
I've seen documents to that effect. And when I had talked to Mr. Hoagland, this is before I even became involved in the AlphaCom team, he ran that scenario by me. And I said, well, I said, if there's ever a time that I can ask that question, and this was sometime later when I became on the AlphaCom team, I will run that scenario by them to find out, you know, whether we do have anything on the back there or whatever, and I'll report back to you. Well, at that particular time, I couldn't tell Richard yay or nay, but Richard told me later on that one of the leaks inside NASA had flat ass told him that there was people on the backside of the moon.
Doing what?
Mining helium 3.
Okay. Now that's that gives us something to bite into. Now we have to go to break, and when we come back, I want to dive into this helium 3, the mining that you're talking about, because that would indicate that if they're mining helium 3, they have a way to use it, and its use is in a fusion reactor. And they keep telling us we don't have any viable fusion reactors. We're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away, folks.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call the Kevin Smith Show at 1-800-289-1092.
Let me remind each of you that this coming Saturday night is the night I'll be hanging out in the chat room in the members area. So if you haven't joined and you want to get in on this free-for-all chat, now's the time to join, okay? We're talking with Dick Criswell. And, Dick, you know, this is kind of a bombshell here.
Well, you know, it's got to be told. If you looked in the right place, you could find it. That's all I'm going to say.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it, yeah. I know it. I know it exists. Okay?
You've seen photographs of it?
No, I've seen documents of that, what I want to say. I haven't seen glossy photographs, okay?
All right.
But I've seen documents to that effect, that there are working people on the backside of the moon, and they are mining the helium-3. And the helium-3, you know, before we went to break, is used for a propulsion system, okay? They can't evidently make that helium-3 here on Earth, and they have to make it, you know, in the confines of the moon area.
Helium-3 is pretty much laying in the dirt on the moon.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they
it's
just
pretty much free. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much free. Yeah.
Now, but that propulsion system then is a fusion propulsion system because helium. Maybe it is not. But helium-3 has been talked about as the perfect fuel for a fusion reactor. China says we are going to the moon and we're going to build a base on the moon and we are going to mine helium-3. They've made no bones about it, that's why they're going there. You're saying we're already there and are already mining it. And when was this base established, do you know?
Somewhere in the 80s, I believe, 70s, late 70s or 80s is the documents that I've seen. And, you know, that brought up another question to me is, how did we get there? And it was told to me that we have another secret space program that nobody knows anything about.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well, I wouldn't doubt that. It wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Tony from Alberta.
Yes, Tony.
How are you people tonight?
Outstanding. How are you,
Outstanding.
Sir?
Outstanding.
Good. I have a question for Dick.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a program on the Internet, and have you ever heard of Phil Snyder, who was Muslim?
Yes, I have.
He was the only survivor in the Duluth incident.
Say that again. I'm having problems listening to you.
Okay. He was the only person that survived in the Duluth incident where 66 people were killed by aliens because there was a problem there, and he was shot with a beam weapon.
Mm-hmm.
He died in 1996 by cancer or something.
Mm-hmm.
You heard that?
Oh, yeah. I'm very familiar with the report.
Yeah, because I was wondering about that because it was... They were talking about, like, Michael Wolff. They were talking that Michael Wolff had said most of this stuff. And so I was wondering if that was the case, you know. Oh, you know, because sometimes you hear these things and you wonder if it's true or not, you know.
Well, what about the Schneider? Thanks for the call. What about this Phil Schneider story? His story was basically that he was working on a deep underground base. And I forget all the details, but anyway, a firefight broke out between humans and ETs that were working down underground. And I think some 60 or more
of our Delta Force were wiped out by this, and he's the only one that survived. What about this story? Is it true?
As I know the story, yes, it is true. But there are other parts to that story that I don't wish to get into that have been, how should I say, leaked out to make it like a true in nature type thing. But Phil was definitely a survivor of that. And he definitely worked there. Some of the other things I'm not real comfortable with.
Okay. We have a flash message from Mustafa in Sweden, and he says, is there UFO sightings in Sweden that you know of? He said, I saw a very strange ball of light above school buildings a month ago.
Okay. I haven't heard of anything lately. This would go back I'm trying to think. I think the report, and I'd have to look at it, was like 2006. So that's about the only report that I've got from Sweden.
Okay. Here's a flash message from Australia, from Tom. And he says, do you think that by the time officialdom comes out with their disclosure, the rest of us will be so used to seeing these things flying about that we'll just say, so what? Where have you been, dummies? He said, I've seen a light moving across the sky fairly slowly last Saturday night. It was too slow. Too slow to be a satellite, and it had no flashing lights, and then suddenly it just disappeared. I was on a harbor cruise in Newcastle, and the people I was having dinner with also saw it. Interestingly, none of us got that excited about it. We just treated it like an everyday event.
I don't think that I don't think it'll come that way. I mean, those of us that know that this stuff exists, you know, it'll be a big surprise, because look, when you go back in the early 50s, some of the people that were ufologists kept saying, oh, we're just right around the corner, it'll be next year. And I find that really interesting, because some of the people that I talk to today are saying, hey, it's just right around the corner. And, mm-hmm. you know, it just every year you keep saying that, and you know, it never happens. When this comes full circle, I don't feel that my job will end there, okay? Because if they come out and say UFOs are there, yeah, okay. But tell us more. Where do they come from? You know, I mean, it'll still be a job.
You know, I have a very well-known position on that. You know that position. Mm-hmm. It's in my video.
Mm-hmm.
But the position is pretty simple. I don't need the government to pat me on the head and say, yes, my son, doorknobs are real.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're real. I can see them. I see doorknobs. I'm looking at one now in my studio. I don't need the government to tell me that doorknobs are real. And, you know, if you have seen a UFO, you don't need the government to say, yes, my son, UFOs are real. You saw one.
Well, I've seen five in my lifetime, and one really shook me up.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you need me or the government or somebody else to tell you that it was real in order for you to know it was real?
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
And I think we've got to get to that point that, hey, if you saw it, you saw it. Now, the real questions, and this is why I say, Dick, I don't believe in UFOs, nor do I disbelieve. If they are, they are. And that doesn't call upon anybody to believe. It's like saying, do you believe in Volkswagens? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, if they exist, they exist. So it doesn't call on us to believe, but the thing is, it calls on us to think in real terms with rationality and to be able to say, I saw what I saw, even if the government says I didn't. I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what it is. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know who's driving it. But I saw it.
Well, here's another point, Kevin. To those that say that UFOs don't exist or they don't have a belief system in UFOs, it's kind of on the order of God. I've never seen God, but I know that there's something there. You know,
but there's a difference. There's a big difference, Dick. I don't know anybody that's got a videotape of God.
Well, you got a point there, but I'm saying for those that haven't seen them and say from the skeptical point of view that they don't exist, mm-hmm. that's kind of what my point was. Well, mm-hmm. Kind of on the God feature there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think UFOs, and I'll get a lot of flack for this, but UFOs are easier to prove than God because we've got miles of footage.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it, to me, the whole thing about are they real and do you believe in them, I still maintain that's one of the dumbest questions I ever get asked. Do you believe in UFOs? Well, that's dumb. I mean, there's miles of footage of them, and cameras do not, absolutely do not videotape hallucinations.
That's right.
And
that's right.
So, yes, they are there. That debate's over. That's dead. That's a dead debate. The question is, where do they come from?
Right.
Who drives them?
Right.
And how? You know, and what do they want? Those are legitimate questions. So, you know, I don't know. It would be cool if the government came out and said, you know what? They're real. But, you know, I don't really need them to do that. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking with Dick Criswell. We'll take your calls at 1-800-289-1092, toll-free throughout North America, or your flash messages from outside of North America. Don't go away.
Take another look around. Take another look around. Just bring me.
get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Call Kevin Smith at 1-800-289-1092.
And we are talking with Dick Criswell. The telephone number is 1-800-289-1092. I'll be happy to take one or two more calls. But do not delay, because if you keep sitting around thinking, I'd like to call, but I'm scared. Maybe I'll call. No, I'm not going to call. You do that long enough, and it won't be very long, we'll be out of time, all right? 1-800-289-1092. Or you can send a flash message to flash@kevinsmithshow.com if you're outside of North America. And I'll read it on the air. Now, Dick, we've talked about these aliens on the moon. Mm-hmm. And you talked about there are some of us there, too. Are we working in conjunction with them? Or they are there, but we are there at a different location?
No, they're working alongside each other. And I might say that the race there is the gray type, the ones they talk about, the 3.5 foot tall ones.
Okay, so they're working alongside, we are working alongside with them. What about this story of Schneider's about aliens working in deep underground bases in conjunction with us, or us in conjunction with them? Is that part of his story a fact?
That is a fact.
How do you know that?
I've seen some of the documents to that effect. That part of his story is true.
One of the stories that's been out on the internet for quite some time, I guess as long as there's been an internet, is the story that there was a UFO landing at Holloman Air Force Base, and that Ike Eisenhower flew out there on a secret flight, landed, met with these ETs, and out of that came a treaty. What about that story?
That is absolutely true, and as a matter of fact, there was, I think there was like 7,500 feet of 16-millimeter film shot at that time, and I actually told Dr. Wolf to pass the message that we'd be glad to put that on VHS at that time. And he said, you know what the chances are of you getting that?
Slim to none. Yeah.
Slim to none.
And it turned out to be none, right?
I never did see the film. I know where it exists today, but that is classified.
All right, so you're saying that Ike Eisenhower actually, as president, flew out there, met with these extraterrestrials, and from that came a treaty with them. Is there's no question about that?
There's no question about that. And you know that treaty is illegal because it has to be ratified by the Congress. So
has the Congress ever even seen this treaty?
Absolutely not.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I think I did part of it, because it wasn't, how should I say this? It was about, I think that there was about 150 pages of this thing, and I think I just skimmed over it. But it told that the president had had a scenario like he was going to the dentist or something like that, as I recall, and said that that was his cover story. So, yeah, I did see that part of it. And to the whole thing. I don't think I read the whole thing because I really didn't have time. And in those particular things, when you ask for different documents or show different documents, you're really not given, especially when they're you know, 150 pages, you don't have the time to go over them unless they allow you that. But there were other things that I seen when we were doing that part of it.
All right, very quickly, Dick, because we're fast approaching the end of the show. I have another flash message here from Australia, and it says, we hear that along with UFO incidents, there has also been an escalation in the incidences of crop circles. Dick, have you seen any evidence that anybody has been able to decipher the symbols left in the fields?
I haven't seen any evidence to that effect. There's a lot of theories on that, but, you know, I have not seen that to be true.
All right. I'd like for you to, we've got just a couple of minutes now. I'd like for you to tell us a little bit about IPUS and why people who have seen something should contact you.
Okay.
And how they can.
Okay. IPUS is the International Paranormal UFO Society, and we're trying to get in every country in the world. So please go to our website at www.canyoustandthetruth.com. There's a way that you can become a member. We are a new organization. You can get right in on the ground floor. We have investigators in several states now, not every state. We want to be in all states, and we want to be in every country in the world. And when they go to the website, it's not that you're just writing a report down. We take these things serious, and if we can get somebody to you, we're gonna put an investigator to you to try to find out what you've seen, you know, and answer any questions that you have. And if we can't do that, I will talk to you personally. And you don't have to give your name, as I said before, because we're like a doctor-patient type relation, to where we keep things quiet. And rather than give your report to someone else and it just goes in a file, we take everyone serious, and don't think that you call there that we think you're a kook, because you know we will check these things out. We'll make sure that they're a fact. And there's a number that you can call me up there, and please call tomorrow. Don't call tonight. You know, we'll talk to you. We're just we're a user friendly organization.
Associated with you is Bill Nell, who has been on the show, and I was on the internet today looking at articles that are available on the internet. He's got a bunch of articles on the internet about UFO sightings and the trends and things that are happening. He, as well as you, is a wealth of information. And, you know, you are surrounding yourself with class acts, and I think that's a good thing. Again, the website is www.canyoustandthetruth.com. Now, if you can't remember that, right now, go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Look right beside the picture, the photo of Dick Criswell, and you'll see in blue letters it says website. That's a link to his website. And if you click on that, it'll take you right over there. Dick, thank you for being with us. I appreciate it. And I look forward to you being with us again soon.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
If you will, stay on the line with me for just a moment. Folks, don't forget, at kevinsmithshow.com, there's a lot of things for you there. Chief among them is the free weekly newsletter. Be sure that you do subscribe to that and click the confirmation link that you're going to get. Also, scroll down and take a look at that new sponsor we have, and click on that. You'll be able to, you know, you got old cell phones laying around or an old video camera or whatever.
they'll buy it from you. Turn some of your electronic gadgets back into cash, all right? All right, folks, we are out of here. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.